Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the SMT Show. My name is Julian Ho.
And I'm Dustin Pym.
And we're here to speak about the wellness side of fitness, the psychosocial, emotional sides that you don't quite get in tune with during a fitness class. We feel it. We know it. We just don't have time. But why don't we have time for this good stuff?
But they are super connected. I think it's maybe not that we don't have time, but maybe we just don't actually acknowledge it.
Ooh.
Right? Yeah. Right? Because maybe it's there, right? Like you've taken a yoga class and you're like, man, why is my hip so tight? And then the instructor goes, I've heard that if your left hip is tight, that is tied to your emotional center. And you're like, yeah, whatever. And then you like breathe on it and then you're crying. Right? You're like, whoa, I just have to acknowledge this moment. And that's a big step, right?
So this is definitely about the processing part. We can hear all the things in our movement classes, but here's a time to reflect and connect more with the process of action into internal change. And we wanted to focus today on the DISs, the D-I-S of life. Disconnection, discomfort, dis-ease, but the throughway to a lot of it is discernment. Discernment is your ability to discern a decision, give it space and time before reacting. It's being able to rationalize a thought, opinion, idea, and put it out there into the world.
Kind of like that idea. Yeah, like that idea almost of like taking in information and before gut reaction processing it, actually taking some time to, I'm going to steal a word from one of my friends, marinate on the idea and let that flavor your next action.
Let's get the food stuff out of the way since it's a very common topic.
Yeah.
What, Dustin, what's something that you're really loving this autumnal fall season? What's really making you feel cozy inside with food?
You know what's really funny? I've been making these roasted carrots. What I do is I roast them like pretty hard roast, but then in the last like 10 minutes, I shake them up with some honey and roast them again, and the honey basically gets like almost candied.
Nice. On that, it glazes roast. It.
It is. I think they honestly like they're kind of almost like a sweet French fry at the end. They're really tasty. What about you?
I'm digging squash, like butternut squash.
So good.
Not just the soup, but just roasting it and putting it into my salads, putting into my stir fries, putting into my pastas. It's just this extra or satiation that you get from this, I don't know, heartwarming, belly filling.
But heartwarming vegetable is the thing. When you eat that, especially when it's been like roasted, it's so like it just feels really good, right? Like it's awesome.
Notice the colors; they're both orange.
Yes.
Yeah, we're oranging out now.
It's autumn time, right?
Totally.
But those are good things. It's funny because I used to think squash was like you'd look at it and you're like, this can't be. Like that's
edible.
A weird looking thing. This looks awful. And then you have it prepared a certain way. I mean, it kind of ties into our idea right now, right? You might have a gut reaction on something, but if somebody teaches you more about the inner workings of that thing, or you take some time to explore it on your own, you're like, oh, yo, this is delightful.
So with comfort comes discomfort, and discomfort comes comfort. We always work the dualities, the polarities of life to learn. We have this beautiful spectrum of one extreme to the other. So how do we find this flow back and forth between the two? So with our first word of discomfort, maybe we can use that. What are your thoughts on things that make you feel very uncomfortable in the fitness arena?
Yo, that's a really interesting question because there's so many things that, I'm an instructor of group fitness, so I'll say, guys, I want you to do this. And then they do something completely opposite, which makes me uncomfortable and makes me angry. But things that really make me like have a lot of like uncomfortable feeling are usually when I feel like I can't get what I want. Right? Like I'm expecting this, or I want this, but there's either a lack of understanding, or there's a roadblock, or there's red tape, or something in the way that makes me uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. That creates discomfort for me. What about you?
Well, sometimes when I feel the heavy burn in an exercise, I'm speaking on the student side of it when I'm doing a class, when I'm pushing through and I'm giving it everything that I got, but I can't get to the ultimate place that I used to be. You know, that sensation of, I mean, I don't do Ironman triathlons right now, nor do I do ultra marathon races, just because everything was shut down over the pandemic times. But I still find myself comparing myself to a past version. And that is really difficult, something hard to swallow. And I see it all the time on the teacher side where people are saying things like, man, I'm just trying to get back to where I was. How many people, how many listeners can resonate with that, right? You've lost a little bit of your touch, your athletic prowess, your capacity to go hardcore ham. And now you're at this place of, man, I'm just picking up the pieces and I'm still trying to get there. Now, what would you say to a student who's going through that?
You know, it's funny because, like, you said that and immediately, like, resonates with me because I see people all the time and they're like, oh, well, I can't do what I used to do. I was like, doing 100 push-ups before. I was, like, running for 4 hours. Right. And
that's how they sound?
That, most of them, unless it's you. And they're like, hey, Dustin, the yin and the yang. I can't run like I used to. But, yeah, I think one of the things that I tell people is, you're actually exactly where you need to be, right? Like, you don't need to be that thing you were because you're exactly where you need to be. Like, is this a high point on that next step? Is it a, what, who cares? Like, you're in the process because that's what it is for me. Like, it's not, like, the world of movement and the world of fitness is not about these goals. It's not, I need to run 5K in this time or I need to deadlift X amount of weight. Those are cool markers, but it should be the process. It should be the day in and day out, like, work and meditation and practice. That should be why you love it, not the, oh, I love it because I could do this. So I always lead with that. What about you? What would you say?
Well, I told one person who had stayed back after class about goals and where they want to be, and they want to go back to where they were. And then I said, hey, think about all the things that you've accomplished and that has happened to you from then till now. And you have now this amazing sight line from present to past. Now, all of the things that you experienced in your past when you were at your superhero mode, what were the other blind spots that you might have encountered, or some potential injuries or things that you just may not have been aware of? Now that you have the chance to look back at that with hindsight, can you get to a similar place but do it with the mind that you have now?
Yeah.
This is sort of this chance to, you know, back to the future it and go from, like, Marty McFly in the future to tell the present Marty McFly, don't do this, do this, right? So here's a good chance to look back and reflect and think, is that what I actually want? Okay, maybe parts of it. So maybe break it down. Physically, yeah, you want to look that way. But mentally and emotionally, you've gone through so much. Do you want to go back to that place? Or can you find somewhere else that may be a growth spurt moment for you? A chance to live into your maturity. And that's been a really cool wake up for myself personally and for some of my students.
Yeah, it's like you're standing there looking at that item of clothing, that dress or that shirt, and you're like, man, I used to fit in that shirt and I love that I want to fit in that shirt. But now you're not just fitting in that shirt, but you're also ironing out the wrinkles, right? Like, you're you're completely, like, and you're fixing that button that popped off that one day.
Yeah,
which is, I mean, it's just a little analogy that kind of makes me think of that.
Totally. And then you can just evaluate that as, like, maybe that dress or shirt or whatever served its purpose at that time. Maybe I can look to another outfit or another thing to grow into.
Yeah, and just to go with that, you know, that shirt analogy, for my feedback is that you don't even need the shirt, right?
We going topless?
That's what I'm saying. You don't even need the shirt, right? Like, that thing that you look like or that thing you can do, is actually irrelevant because what's more important is the process. Right. What's more important is the thoughts and feelings around that activity. Those are more important than the picture, the Instagram post, the whatever it is, right?
Right. Like, molding, shaping yourself to become something that perhaps has been created by society, societal norms and expectations. And I mean, living into that, for example, the idea of becoming an Ironman triathlete, I mean, that's a tall order.
It's huge.
And but, a lot, because a lot of people do it and they revere it. They're like, oh my God, if you're an Ironman, wow, immediate respect.
Or like, I'm a competitive power lifter or I'm a professional athlete in some regard, in any of those things. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that being goal-driven or outcome-driven is a bad thing. That's what I'm saying. Right. But if you're always relying on that, well, the truth is there's going to be a point in your life where it's going to have to shift, right? And maybe. And as long as it's about the process for you and it's about the love of that task and it's that intrinsic thing, that's more important than, I think, the other side of it.
Yeah, maybe less about the doing and more of the being.
Yeah.
Right?
Less do, more be. Like, let me ask you, as somebody that used to compete, do you want to compete like that again? I wish you guys could have seen Julian's smile when I asked him that question. There was like a smile where like he knows he wants to go out and crush people, but there's another, and this is the other part he's going to say, but.
Yeah, part of me definitely loves the competition. And then the other part of me says, to what outcome, to what reason, you've been there, you've done that. What else do you have to prove? Is it to someone else? Is it to other people? Or is it even a reminder to yourself? You know how we have like behaviors that act as benchmarks in life, as milestones that just keep us in check? You know, if you go and dance it out at the clubs and you pull it off and you draw that big dance circle, you're like, I still got it. Going out there, testing yourself, that's the part of the game that I enjoy and that I kind of need as the person that I am right now.
Right.
That really likes to be challenged, to be tested, and as a reminder to where I still enjoy those aspects of who I am. So discomfort.
Yeah, you know, I think it's one of those things you should embrace it though, right? Like you have to, I always used to say, and I'm definitely confident that I've said this in one of these podcasts before, but you kind of have to embrace the suck. Right, like the parts that are sucky, that's probably, if you lean into those, that's where the most growth is going to come from.
Right? I say the sweet ain't as sweet without the sour.
Yeah, you do say that.
Yeah, I've said that before too.
You have.
Okay, how about the another word, another dis word, dis connection. We're talking about disconnecting. Disconnection, a lot of people have found themselves sort of numb to what's going on and they're trying to find things that reactivate their love for something. Maybe it's a disconnection with someone else, with a poor choice of words or a wrong or misinterpreted intention. There's a disconnection there. What are some typical disconnections that we find here in the fitness world? When you're talking about queuing something up and someone's not getting it, there's a disconnect in how they process what you're saying or misinterpreting what you're saying. What are some solutions or reasons why this could be happening? Why do you think people are disconnecting?
This is huge. Like what you're talking about is something that is not podcast length worthy. Like this is like
a book.
I could spend hours talking about this, but I think what it really all boils down to is awareness. I think when you use the word disconnection, the first word that comes in my head is like, are you aware? If we're talking about in a movement environment, like proprioception, kinesthesis, do you know where your body is in space? But then like, I mean, if we take that out to the wellness side, like, do you know how you're influencing others with your actions? Do you know how, you know, your thoughts are being perceived? Are you aware of how other people are communicating with you? All of that.
Yes.
And I think that
self-knowing,
and I think why so many people have become numb is because we haven't had as much connection. Right? Like when you have more connection, there's a little, I think it's easier to reflect, right? Because you're bouncing something off of something else, right?
You have a sounding board.
Well, when you're just at home during a pandemic or, you know, dialed into you, all there is you in a mirror, right? And that mirror is going to give you only what you want to see out of it.
Right. Bias. Right?
Exactly. Well, you know, you and I sitting in a booth, it's hot in here. It smells like coffee. Julian spilled his coffee before we started, by the way.
Yeah, I'm sitting on it right now. It feels nice and
he's
warm.
He's got coffee butt. But like having that person to bounce ideas off of and like look in the face and go, you know, they know I'm bullshitting right now. Or they're picking up on something. Like that's giving you something to reflect on. That's giving
feedback.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Right? Because the best way to become aware is receive some feedback, is to reflect on your experience.
Right.
Right?
One thing that I love sharing in class, especially in our class, Rock the Bells, the lifting class with dumbbells, is a lot of people are actually very scared of lifting heavy. But a beautiful thing about not just going heavier, but load in general, an outside load, is that it acts as not only a corrective to correct form and technique, load is a corrective, but it also builds intuition and awareness.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I use the analogy of how much can you learn from your strength if you're arm wrestling a baby compared to arm wrestling your twin, compared to arm wrestling Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know, you can learn so much.
I'd crush all of them.
I'd like to see that.
Yeah.
But how much can you learn from arm wrestling a baby with little baby weights? You don't learn very much because you don't get that feedback.
Yeah.
And you don't know then what capacity you have, where to position yourself, how it feels, what intensity feels like, all these things. But when you arm wrestle something that's substantial, that's not going to hurt you and injure you, you'll get a lot more information that way.
And you know, it's funny because that same idea applies to, again, outside of, I think that's what we do all the time in here, is we take what's happening in that fitness environment and that application of life. But like, think about your own life. If you're like, hey, things are good, life's good, like, really? Have you really tested it?
Mm.
Have you really put yourself in a situation where you're arm wrestling Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yes.
Have you put yourself in a situation where you're really challenging your perspective against somebody who is maybe somebody you look up to?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like,
stress test it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
just like I did with my, when you asked about, should I go back to my Ironman trainings and stuff like that? Yeah, I need it. I need that competition.
Yeah. But in that training environment, I'm a huge proponent for load. You learn so much about yourself when you put yourself under more stress.
Mm-hmm.
And the cool thing about the body is that you hit it with a stress response, whatever it is, and then it rebuilds itself.
Adapts.
It reprograms, as I feel like that's a word you would say.
Love it.
And like, you reprogram yourself. You make deeper connections with yourself.
Mm.
And so I love the idea, you know, a great way to help with that disconnection is put yourself in some stress.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that sounds awful saying it that way, but that's really what everything in life is.
Challenge
right?
yourself.
That progressive overload.
Yes. How about awareness? How do you help people build more kinesthetic awareness?
That's a really good question. And I think it's a very hard thing to do in a class environment because people are different. Mm-hmm. But I would like to fall back on three primary coaching things: verbal, visual, and tactile. And those three things for me, using words, for some people just click, right? Like that shirt analogy I used not too long ago, which yes, we're talking and it creates a visual picture, but that's very verbal still. Visual, I'm gonna show you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna show you what you do.
Yeah.
I'm gonna show you on a video.
Yes.
Right? Like you're a public speaker and you don't know you have this weird thing you do with your arm. I show you a video of that, you're gonna be like, oh, I didn't know I did that.
Mm-hmm.
Or your knees collapse inwards when you're squatting and you don't know. I show you a video of that, you're like, oh. But then that third thing is tactile, like using my hands or other objects to give you something that's providing you that external feedback, right? You know, again, I'm going to use the knees collapsing inwards again, but if I put like a ball between your legs and you're like, oh, my knees are getting closer to that ball.
Yes.
I see it, but if I feel that, that's different, right?
Yeah.
Things like that make you super aware of what you're doing in space. But that takes a lot of time. What are you What are you doing in those situations?
Well, I was just going to say that in reflection to the disconnection that we're finding these days, it's because we're missing that tactile feedback. Mm-hmm. We're not touching each other.
Yeah.
We're not in each other's faces or around each other. We don't have the socialization mechanisms like tactile feedback and nonverbal communication to really reflect on what we're doing and help ourselves grow through that form of expression.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been an audiovisual experience the entire time. And so I think that's definitely a missing piece, and I'm hopeful and confident that things are going to bring itself back.
Yeah.
So that we can have that triple threat of audiovisual, tactile.
Are you touching people in class now?
I'm tapping.
Yeah.
I'm tapping with my phone. I'm using that to, like, if I'm saying, like, hey, everyone squeeze your shoulder blades together, like, you're pinching a pencil. And if someone doesn't know how to do that, I tap my phone in between their shoulder blades and they'll get it.
Yeah.
But I'm still wary of that.
You're just like the ballet teacher with the stick.
Yeah.
Hips
a stick would be great, actually.
I'll be honest. I probably shouldn't say this publicly, but I'm full on contacting people.
Okay.
But I'm not, I wouldn't say I'm touching them. Like in the past, I would be
adjusting.
Not even. It is still more just like very small pointed contact.
Okay.
But there would have been a time back in the day when I would like probate a little bit more and I would like search. You know, I'm like, I'm looking for your ASIS.
My mind went somewhere.
I know what you're thinking, but like that word is like you're probing, but what you're doing is you're looking for something, right? But yeah, like I used to do a lot more of that in like open hand.
Yes.
You know, touch. Like in a great yoga class or in a great stretching environment or even in like a great lifting environment, like that full hand on your shoulder or your thigh or
feels
like
good.
Right inside your gluteus maximus, like that.
That's like a next level human experience, right? And you learn so much from just the touch.
And you, in that
it's
moment,
our superpower.
And there's energy. There's such an energy.
Yes.
Little story. My mom, I might have told you this before, but she was the best hugger in the world. And she would put her hand on someone's back and just like, she's read energy really well.
Mm.
She was all into like the energy healing, the Reiki stuff. And she would just put her hand on your back and like hold you in a certain way and bring people to tears the first time she met them.
Whoa.
It was unreal.
Wow.
And like thinking about it, like chokes me up, my voice changes. Cause like she just gave these hugs that like were so amazing. And a good fitness instructor, movement coach, I think they have that same awareness.
Touch,
they can come up to you and they could put their hand on your chest or, you know, the back of your head or where, and you're just like, whoa.
Yeah, you feel them.
Yeah. Like Rachel here, she's really good at that, actually. She reads and
Yeah, she speaks through her hands.
But that connection is key, right? Like that tactile connection is huge for awareness. So, wow. I could honestly talk about touch for 2 more hours.
It's great. It's a powerful human superpower.
It is. And we are lacking it. It's not there as much as it used to be. I miss it.
Yeah.
I miss getting touched. That sounds funny.
Yeah. Receiving.
But, yeah.
Receiving is huge.
Yeah.
Mm.
Getting is good.
Especially when there's a contrast of always giving.
Yes.
Yeah. Giving.
Yeah.
And then to receive, especially as coaches and teachers. That's why we are commonly misconstrued as extroverts because we put our energy out.
Yeah.
But we need our introversion, our times to ourselves, and time to receive.
It's funny though, but the true definition of extroversion is we get our energy from others.
From others, yes.
Right? Like, we need that reciprocation, right? Like, there's something there that's about validation. There's probably something there about awareness. There's probably something there about just connection, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, So, listeners, give it back. Come
touch Dustin. Give him a hug.
Yeah, just put your hand on my butt. No, I'm just kidding. Don't touch my butt. That's gross. No, Julian, take your hand off my butt right now.
Sorry, I can't help it.
So let's go into takeaways. Let's jump into, like, we've kind of been all over the place, but
we'll skip through the dis-ease part and then go right into, because I think we talked about dis-ease, disconnection, discomfort. I think you guys get the gist of it. But how about discernment as one dis, as a positive?
Right.
How do we discern? How do we better make decisions through the discomfort or with the discomfort? How do we be able to analyze what's going on, use that analytical brain, but also maybe soften it with that emotional side, that real human touch, human side? How can we find the throughway, the middle ground between the yin and the yang of decision making?
So that was a Julian way of saying things. I'm going to give a Dustin interpretation with a response.
Go for it.
To me, like, we've been talking a lot about, you know, giving and receiving feedback and energy and things like that. So when you're getting feedback, this is how I'm interpreting this, it can be very easy to just, like, gut reaction, go to what is our, like, safe place and whatever that is. But what I would say is that don't do that. I would say take some time with the feedback, listen to it, process it, and know in your heart that, especially if it's coming from somebody that you trust, that that is something that's meant to get you better or meant to help. So don't take it personally. Listen to it. And then put it through the machine, put it through your heart, your head, your mind,
let it
your
filter
soul
through.
Yeah, and then go, now how does that make me feel? How should I use this as a tool to improve, to get better, to get better at my process? I think that would be one big tip right there.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. That's taking the time. But sometimes the question is, what if there is no time? That's what people make maybe quote-unquote faulty decisions. They gut react because there ain't no time, because they're in a rush and they're busy and they're on the move and they don't have the patience, perhaps. What's going on with that?
Well, just on that, you are, we're like, and me, both you and I are very busy people, and we're always like, I feel like I'm the one saying I have no time now, when before it was always you. I'm like, we're going to record something? You're like, yeah, I'm so busy. But I think there is time. And I think that as a second tip, if, again, if it's coming from somebody, if you're getting energy from somebody that, you know, values you or you value them, then you deserve to give that time. Because, like, it's just so valuable. And in a world right now where connection is fleeting, I like that word, I'm glad I said that. But, like, just take that moment. Take that moment and absorb that and give it that time. There's a phrase that I've been trying to adopt, and I probably said this here before, but after somebody speaks, I try to give 2 seconds. And that right there could be tons of time.
Like a little rule.
Yeah.
Just 2 seconds or 2 breaths before you speak. That would be cool. Hey, listeners, can we make that a little challenge rule, a behavioral change rule before you answer back? Just take 2 deep breaths and then respond. You don't have to respond with that voice, but you respond however you need. But take those 2 seconds, two breaths.
So, Julian, what about you? The discernment. How do you navigate? How do you navigate that landscape where, you know, maybe you're looking for one thing that it's not there. Maybe it's not aligned. How are you doing that?
What's really connecting with me right now is being able to articulate context, and that's being able to consider the factors that influence the situation at hand. It's looking at the circumstances. When someone is saying something or asking something of me, I ask about or think about the context of the ask. I think about what place I'm in right now emotionally. You know, when people arrive at a class, I always love to give that moment of, hey, everyone, just take a moment to yourselves to be in this place right now. Breathe into it. Maybe you can slowly close off the mental tabs in your brain, because now it's time to be in your body. Look at the people around you, maybe acknowledge them, and know that they're also on the same page, coming down to the same centering, grounding place. And then we move from there, as opposed to coming in quick into the class. Oh my God, I thought I was going to be late, and I'm rushing and working from that torrential storm of a place. Really taking into context the surrounding situations and environmental factors and all of the considerations that have gotten you here to this place. And and then respecting that and honoring it, celebrating it, and then moving from there. The context to me is a really crucial place as a way to discern the next step forward.
Yeah, like, you can't make a step forward until you've been grounded. Right? Like, it's like inertia.
Yes.
Right? Like, you if you try to step out of a boat, that boat's going to move in the water unless that boat is anchored.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. I love that beautiful analogy. So that's the stuff that I'm going through right now when it comes to discernment, is being able to consider context and then articulate it. Speak what's happening in my inner world out loud to other people so that they know what's going on in my brain. You know, saying things like, hey, Dustin, really appreciate you showing up to today's podcast at noon. I'm excited to get us going. Let's move through with these topics. How does that make you feel?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like really talking about what we're planning. All right, just closing out our podcast. We spoke today about the disses of life, the discomforts, the disconnections, a little bit of dis-ease, and following through with discernment. Season 3, episode 1. Whoop, whoop. So, final words, the D-man?
I think I'd love to hear from anybody who listens more. I'd love to hear, you know, what are some topics that you'd like us to discuss? Because I think there's some pretty awesome people out there, some amazing ideas that we would have some really unique perspective on. Mm. So I'd love to hear that. And I'll be honest, I love doing these. And they ground me in a really nice way. So it's, especially in the booth, there's something about the booth, you know, because it reminds me of when we first started connecting.
Yeah.
And I really like it.
This is cool.
Yeah.
You know what I was actually curious about? Because we have a lot of instructors, new instructors, maybe we can start bringing in some guests.
Yo, we should. Do you guys want guests? Let's bring the guests back.
Yeah, let's do that. All right, everyone. I'm hopeful.
Final thoughts for you. What are your final thoughts?
I'm hopeful, thankful that we can all move through with a little bit of zen in the zone, some peace in the power, some flow in the fears.
Articulate with alliteration.
Oh, I love that too. You know I do.
This guy loves it.
Hey, you're tickling me there. In that warm, fuzzy spot.
Ew.
I'm just happy that we are moving through this world together. We are all aligned. We know what we're going through, and we're not afraid or becoming better at vulnerability to be able to share what's going on so that we can get connected, so we can find those tactile moments to truly be together and be as one. And yeah, we'll see how the next podcast shapes up. So let us know your feedback. If not, we flowing.
We will. Guys, I'm Dustin Pym.
Julian Ho.
This is the S&T Podcast. Thanks for listening as always.
Good day, good night.
Bye all.